Welcome to Marilyn Solutions with Reverend Marilyn, the speaker for the new millennium. Join Marilyn as she talks with guests offering a wide range of talents and information. And now, here's Marilyn.
Welcome to Marilyn Solutions. I'm so glad you're joining me today. Our guest is Robert Smith from Virginia Beach, Virginia. He's an award-winning journalist and an author of Misdiagnosed, which we're going to talk about today, and his other book he edited on Edgar Cayce, My Life as a Seer, we'll talk about also. If you have questions about the medical profession and alternative medicine, that's what we're discussing about his book in Misdiagnosed, or about Edgar Cayce. The magazine he edits is the magazine for the ARE, which is the Edgar Cayce Foundation. You can call in with your questions or comments. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. Or King County, call us toll-free, 253-804-5765. King County, 253-804-5765. And I would like to remind everybody that our sponsors are between the segments of the show, and please let them know that you hear them and that you're eager to have them help you with their services. So just stay in touch with them. They're glad to help you, and they want you to know they're out there. Now I'd like to introduce Robert Smith to you. He is an author of 6 books, an award-winning journalist. He is a former columnist and Washington correspondent for the Northwest and Alaskan newspapers. Mr. Smith is currently the editor of Venture Inward magazine. His most recent book is Misdiagnosed, Was My Wife a Casualty of American Medical Cold War? He is also the editor of the memoirs of Edgar Cayce entitled My Life as a Seer. Welcome, Bob. Glad you're here today.
Thank you. I'm certainly glad to be here, Marilyn.
Well, we've had a lot of fun getting things together, get to be ready for the show, and so we have lots of good questions for you.
Very good.
And so I'm sure people are interested in your concerns about the medical profession. What was the mistake in your wife's diagnosis?
Well, my wife was diagnosed, she had a backache, and she was in wonderfully good health as far as we knew. She was probably the most healthy person that I knew in the 10 years that we were together. This backache just wouldn't quit. She went to her chiropractor, and that helped momentarily, but not permanently. And I think basically the fundamental mistake was that even though certain practitioners were helpful in a temporary way, she did not get an adequate diagnosis of her condition, and so she was repeatedly misdiagnosed. That is, she went to a number of doctors before they found out that she had cancer, and this was 4 months later. So she went 4 months being mistreated and being misdiagnosed, and that was the basic mistake.
I see. Was there any way that you would have had that correct diagnosis sooner? Of course, hindsight's always easier than at the time.
Well, yes, it is, of course. Well, I think basically everyone needs to be careful about getting using the best instruments and the best technology that's available for diagnostic reasons. And that's what was never done in her case. She had no x-rays. She didn't have an MRI. She didn't have any bone scans. And until she got those, which was 4 months too late, we had no clue as to what her real condition was. And so one doctor after another was theorizing when they really should have, sent her for an MRI, which is, I think, probably one of the best tools that we have today.
Well, that's good advice for people to hear, that you need to get the appropriate technology for the diagnosis.
Absolutely. That's fundamental. And then you decide on what's the proper treatment. But you have to know what you're trying to treat. And that was the problem in her case. They were treating for the wrong things.
Well, that's a shame. What do you mean when you refer to America's medical Cold War? That's an intriguing comment.
Well, the Cold War that I discovered when we were trying to get some medical help was that doctors have a way of not really having a whole lot of confidence in anybody else's work. In other words, there's a lot of belittling going on within the healthcare community. Medical doctors, many medical doctors, not all of them, but many of them, for example, poo-poo chiropractic. And chiropractic physicians are often very hostile toward medical doctors. And so they don't refer back to one another. They don't take into account what other people have found. And as I point out in my book, in one case of woman, it was not just my wife has run into this, but many other people. One woman had a problem, and she went to four or five different specialists, and each of them had a different theory, but they wouldn't talk to one another. And she was left, as most patients are, to try to figure it out by themselves. And that's why I talk about it as a Cold War. There's this hostile attitude within the profession, about other people who have different specialties and come to different conclusions.
Well, it's a shame. I hear what you're saying, and that we need more cooperation.
That's exactly right. The cooperation is what really should be there, and you would think in a profession that's dedicated to the treatment and the improvement of the patient, that would be the first order of business, but it seldom seems to be.
Isn't that a sad thing to have to understand today, that we aren't as mature as we really need to be?
I agree with you, yeah. There's another case that I cited in my book of a woman in Canada who had cancer. They discovered she had ovarian cancer, and she went along with the recommendations to have surgery. She had a tumor removed, and they recommended she have radiation after that, which she did. But she also went to a naturopath to get some help in her healing and in recovering. And she mentioned this to the radiologist, the person who was doing the radiation, and he was so hostile to her. I mean, it was embarrassing the way he treated her for even consulting a naturopath, as though this was a charlatan. And, you know, that's the sort of thing that really has no place, I think, in the field of medicine.
Well, my experience has taught me the more I know about myself, the more I know about the situation, the better choices I have.
Well, that's certainly good advice. And I think the patient should be encouraged rather than discouraged to get all the advice they can from every quarter.
Well, in my health recovery, I was very fortunate that new alternatives came into my life that I had never heard of and would not properly have pursued because of that radiologist's feelings. You know, it wouldn't have been accepted. But I finally got strong enough within myself to say, this opportunity is here, and at least I'm going to investigate it before I make a decision.
Well, you were very smart and courageous to be able to do that. I think my wife, Jane, unfortunately, was kind of victimized by some of the practitioners she saw, and she felt like she needed to be loyal to them rather than going out and getting a wide range of advice in her in treating her backache. And so she fell into the trap that is set there for many patients who don't realize that they've got to take things in their own hands. And I wasn't smart enough to help her in that respect until it was too late.
Well, that's a shame. What do you mean by alternative medicine when you're talking about it in your book?
Well, that term today usually applies to any kinds of therapy which are not based on pharmaceutical drug type of treatment. And chiropractic, I think, is generally thought of as sort of an alternative, certainly an alternative to allopathic medicine. Allopathic, which is focused primarily on pharmaceuticals. And so it might include acupuncture, it might include massage, Rolfing. There's a whole range of different therapies that are available to people, and they're often very effective, but they have to be, you have to know what it is that you're trying to treat, and that's the message I'm trying to get across, because none of these therapists, alternative therapists, are really in business to give you a thorough diagnosis. They're there to give you a treatment, and you have to be sure you know what it is that the condition that you have that needs to be treated.
That is very good advice for everybody to hear. You mentioned that your wife was in good health. What kind of things did she do that seemed to appear that she was such a healthy person?
Well, Jane was very, very sensitive to the needs for nutrition. She was she used a lot of dietary supplements that were recommended by her chiropractor, and she and I too, I followed that advice, and I think she was in very good health, and it could be that she lasted longer than she might have given her serious condition when it was discovered, simply because she was in such good condition. But she exercised. She was careful about what we ate. Our diet was very, nutritious, and she avoided junk food, and she didn't smoke. And her, if she ever drank more than a small glass of wine, I can't remember when it was. So that she was very, careful. And consider it in terms of how she treated herself.
So this was really quite a shock when it happened then.
It was so, it was just, you couldn't believe that somebody as healthy as Jane could be so seriously ill suddenly. And it was terribly shocking to her and even to her doctors.
What a surprise. We are going to be back shortly, Bob. We have some messages, and we want people to call in if they have questions and concerns about our issues today. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. King County, toll-free, 253-804-5765. Stay tuned. We'll be back and find out what is holistic health, so don't go away. Solutions with Marilyn. We're glad you're listening today. We have a guest call. His name is Robert Smith, and he is talking to us about his book, Misdiagnosed, right now. And later we'll be talking about his book about Edgar Cayce. But right now we want everybody to know that you too can sponsor this program, and you can call me at 253-845-4907. It's a very reasonable way to get your message out on the air every week, eight times a week, for a very nominal fee, and you can even make your own commercials. So call me at 253-845-4907 if you want your message out to those people listening or other people listening to this station throughout the week. Also, we have a few copies left of Reverend Rodney Romney's wonderful book, Wilderness Spirituality. They're still available. He kindly gave us some books to let you people have your copy for only $25. That funds go to keeping this program on the air. That was his way of helping us and supporting us, and I'm so very grateful, and they're almost gone. So if you want your copy, you can email me at Marilyn at Angelica's Gifts, one word, angelicasgifts.com. So for your copy of Wilderness Spirituality, don't delay, they're almost gone. I also still have some copies from our guest last week, Dr. Cherie Moore. And she was talking about relationships last week, if you remember. And there was some very valuable information on that program. And if you're interested in her book, You can also email me at Marilyn, M-A-R-I-L-Y-N, at Angelica's Gifts, one word, angelicasgifts.com for your free copy of The True Beauty from Within. Now I want to also advise my listeners that my webpage will shortly be up for being able to do online counseling or chatting back and forth about my articles or books or things that you are interested in, such as my videos or even tapes and CDs of this program or other programs we've had. Also, my art is on my webpage, and you are welcome to get your copies of whatever angels seem to strike your fancy, and also some other items there, too. So my webpage is angelicasgifts.com. Check it out and see what you're interested in, and we can always help you out with any questions. Now, Bob, we're just going to get ready to talk about holistic health care when we had to take a break. And what do you mean by holistic health care?
Well, holistic health is a term that I think is generally understood to mean more than just taking into account one's physical condition. I think, you know, years ago, people's health was considered strictly a physical matter. You know, if you break your leg, of course you go and you have it set, and it's a physical thing. But there are many other conditions of the body that are somewhat mysterious in their origins and not nearly as simple as setting a broken leg. And so it's been a revolutionary thing over the last generation or so for the medical profession to begin to understand that the body sometimes becomes diseased or becomes ill for reasons that aren't strictly physical. And the first step in that was to recognize the body-mind connection, so that our attitudes, our state of mind, whether we're happy or angry, all of these conditions, these emotional conditions that we are sometimes afflicted by, often afflict the body physically. So that the idea of holistic health care is where you treat the body, you treat the person as a whole, body, mind, and the third element is spirit, the spiritual connection that the person has or fails to have. You know, some people have no sense of their spirituality and have no sense of a relationship with a creator, with God, and many others do, and they're much more in tune with the spiritual dimension in which we all live. So that good holistic health care takes into account all three of these elements in helping the person to gain good health and to keep it. So that's what I think is generally understood to be meant by holistic health care.
Well, you gave a very comprehensive answer to that. I want my listeners to know I am going to be teaching a class on holistic health for Pierce College in September. And if you want to find out more about your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being, that would be a fine opportunity for you to explore that. And also, I'll be teaching a class on meditation for Pierce College and also past lives. So if you're interested in these subjects and want some classes to find out more, check your Pierce College catalog for fall, and hopefully you can enroll and find out more about holistic health yourself.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I think meditation is one of the finest tools that we all have. We all have access to meditation. It's a practice that has come into popularity with many Americans in recent years, and is one of the better things that's happened, I think, in this country, because it helps us all get in touch with that inner physician that we need to know about and to help us stay on the proper path.
I agree wholeheartedly. If you were to find fault with Jane's doctors or maybe some of her choices, Bob, what would you say they were?
Well, I would say I think that the primary mistake was on Jane's part was that she did not recognize soon enough that she needed to get a complete and full diagnosis from a regular medical doctor who has access to a hospital where they have the latest technology. Once she did that, then it was only a matter of days before we discovered how serious her condition was. So that on her part, that was her fault, I would say. That was our fault, my fault too. And on the part of her doctors, those who treated her without knowing exactly what her condition was, I think that was the fault. So that's I can't say it too strongly or too often. You need to get a complete and accurate diagnosis.
Is this a widespread problem in health today, Bob?
Well, you know, it's hard to know how widespread it is. I keep running on to people who have been victims of this the medical cold war that I spoke of, where doctors won't cooperate, they won't talk to one another, and so patients are really, you know, when you're sick, you're not really in a very good state to be taking care of yourself, to be even looking after your own best interest. That's the worst. You're in the most vulnerable time of your life is when you're ill and you need somebody to take you through the steps that are going to lead you back to good health. And so the patient should be the last person who has to carry that responsibility. It really should be a medical responsibility, and with good doctors it is. You know, I know good doctors who refer patients and do it gladly because they understand that they don't know everything and that different specialties can be terribly beneficial, wonderfully beneficial for the patient.
What do you think could be done by the medical community to end this cold war?
Well, I know it's easy for us to say they ought to cooperate. They ought to talk to one another, and they ought to recognize that, you know, I don't know. My grandfather was a medical doctor. And he's a wonderful man. And so I have some experience in my own family with this, but I think, to tell you the truth, in many cases, the physician is a rather ego-centered person. And in some ways that's good because he's called upon to make all kinds of decisions in the course of treating a person. And if he didn't have a lot of strength, the ego strength, it probably wouldn't be a success as a doctor. But on the bad news of that is that too many doctors think whatever they conclude is the answer. And there's no cause for cooperation, no cause for consulting others. And so I don't know how we overcome that, but it is something we need to talk about surely as a people, as patients, and get them to understand that we aren't satisfied with the attitudes and the practices that have prevailed and caused so much anguish among patients.
Well, our talking about it today might be a step forward in just that communication and getting to each other's so that we can say, yes, there is a concern here.
I hope so.
Well, we're going to take a small break right now and for messages, and stay tuned, and we want to find out what he feels is the place of alternative medicine in our society today. So don't go away and stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back.
Very good.
With Maryland Solutions, and we're so glad you're listening today. We're having a rousing talk with Bob Smith, who is the author of Misdiagnosed, and he's talking about the Cold War in the medical community today. And before we move on with that, I want our listeners to know that next week, Joy Gardner will be here from Hawaii, right in our studios. And she'll be talking to us about her wonderful books. I just finished reading her book about chakras. It was terrific. And she has another book out called Crystals and Colors. And I think you'll find her very entertaining and informative. And the following week, we'll have Kelly Elstrat here, who's going to tell us about the channeled book called The Urantia Book. And he has put together his own book of quotes from this larger book and tell us more about what that is all entailed. And it should be very intriguing if you're interested in finding out more about how the world came to be made and the plan of what's going on with our lives today. Now, if you wish to reach me for counseling, classes, readings, past life regression, or to talk to someone passed over, contact me at 253-845-4907. Be glad to talk with you anytime. Bob, we're interested in finding out, what do you feel is the place of alternative medicine after all this confusion you've gone through?
Well, I think I certainly am not here to put down alternative medicine. I have a great deal of confidence in the various therapies that fall under that that heading. My daughter, for example, runs the Essentia Spa up on Whidbey Island at Langley, and they do a wonderful job with massage therapy, which is the sort of thing that anybody would benefit by, whether you're healthy or you're in need of some physical assistance. Chiropractic, another wonderful thing. For years, the medical profession tried to put chiropractors out of business. It was an outrageous campaign they conducted to stigmatize chiropractors as quacks. Well, they're not quacks. They do wonderful good work for helping with lower back pains that are muscular and have to do with misalignments of the spine. And so they have an important place in our healthcare community, certainly. Those are just two of the examples, but I think they are established pretty well now, and I don't think they'll ever be pushed out of it as once was the effort of the American Medical Association.
Well, I think that there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. I think we can learn from both.
I do, too.
I think there's valuable information from both sides of the fence, so to speak. Let's take the fence down and come together and share it.
Absolutely.
I want to let people know how to get hold of that wonderful book. In fact, Bob, I just was intrigued reading your book. It is a great love story. I was very impressed with your writing.
Well, thank you. It was easy to write about Jane. Hard because she died, but such a wonderful woman, and we had such a marvelous marriage. It was just a beautiful experience, one of the happiest, certainly the happiest years of our lives together. And because we both have a spiritual philosophy, we don't believe that was the end of our relationship. It was the end of this chapter. And I suspect that it will continue somewhere in another dimension at some other time.
I believe that, too. How can people get hold of Misdiagnosed?
Misdiagnosed is one of these print-on-demand books, which are kind of a new thing in the publishing business, so that you don't find it in most bookstores, but you can order it from Barnes & Noble, for example. They will, they have them printed for you and mailed to you, or you can order it online from Amazon.com. And I think those are probably the best ways to obtain it.
Well, that's good news. They can get hold of your book, because I really couldn't put it down. I found it a very well-written book and also very informative.
Thank you.
I also found in the last two chapters that her choice was to die before you. And I have found out from my own experience that, and I even was talking with a naturopathic doctor at church Sunday, and he said that cancer, in his opinion, was a societal way of committing suicide. And it's kind of sad to say that. It's kind of harsh, maybe, but I also know our frame of mind has a great deal to do with our illnesses.
Well, I think it does, and I don't know, you know, I don't pretend to know all the answers in connection with my wife's that step in her spiritual path, but I did consult a very good psychic later on who told me that she was in touch with Jane, and that Jane learned after her death that she was destined to go. There was just a, it was just one of those things. It was her destiny,
mm-hmm.
and that it was because she had completed her mission of service in this life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we often think, why did that person die? What did they do something wrong? Were they being punished? And this was just the opposite. It was, you know, you've done enough, Jane. And she was the person, she had more friends than anybody I've ever known. She was a therapist, a social worker, and her whole life was devoted to helping other people. And so I can believe that she had completed her mission of service in this life and was destined for something beyond that, and only God probably knows what that was.
I agree that that's probably the answer. We wanted to find out more about your other book that you wrote, because I really enjoyed reading it, too. And it's about Edgar Cayce, My Life as a Seer. Wasn't he called the father of holistic medicine?
That's right. He was, and it was because that he was one of the earliest advocates of the idea that illness is not simply a physical matter, but it can be attributed to, a lot of times, to our emotions, to our attitudes. Attitudes and emotions play a very big part in our physical health, he said, and that we need to take a lot more notice of that, that we can't always think that maybe blaming someone else, you know, for our condition. We often think that we got a disease or an illness from someone else. But when in fact it was our own condition, the condition of our attitude, our health, that triggered our illness. So I think, and of course he too had this concept of the spiritual dimension. Cayce believed in reincarnation, believed that we live many lives, and that one life is not enough for us to perfect our spiritual development, our spiritual growth happens over more than one lifetime. The soul is the journey of the soul. The soul is eternal, and that the soul is passed from one lifetime to another until we have completed our journey.
That's one reason I like doing past life regressions, is you can start to see the patterns of what were the lessons in those lives and how can you bring it to some healing in this life at the present time.
Oh, yeah, that's very sound.
I found it works well in understanding what are those little motivations going on with us that we might not understand.
That's right. Yeah, I think that this is really cutting-edge stuff, you know, because there aren't that many people today who really recognize the contribution that you just talked about. You know, these factors that enter into how well we manage our lives today. You know, we get upset by things, and we half the time have no clue as to what's going on, and often it is because of things that have happened in past lives.
Edgar Cayce wasn't a doctor, was he?
No, he was not a physician. He was a photographer by profession, but that's what he thought he was destined to be. But he developed a strange condition in which he couldn't talk. He lost his voice, and it was very hard for him to practice his profession of photography when he couldn't talk to people, and he went to all kinds of people to try to get help, and this led him to a kind of phenomenal experience in which he was hypnotized by a hypnotist who, and in the process of being hypnotized, he regained his voice. And the hypnotist had made certain suggestions to him, which were he carried out, and in effect, he discovered that he could diagnose his own illness when he was hypnotized in a hypnotic trance. And so after this led to the discovery that he could do this not just for himself, but for other people. And so other people came to him seeking help, and he really didn't want to do this, but he began to realize that this was his calling, that he could help people in ways. People whose doctors were baffled about their condition came to him, and he would go into a trance, a hypnotic trance, and was able to see beyond what you and I could normally see was going on in their bodies or their minds, and he could recommend how they might be able to overcome that condition. And if this had not proven helpful to people, he wouldn't have done it, because he really didn't choose to do this. But so many people were helped that he kept doing it and ultimately realized that this was what he was called to do in this life. And so he gave what he called readings. These were the essays that he verbalized when he was in a trance about various people who came to him. Some of them didn't even come to him. They would just write to him, or they would telephone and ask for a reading on their condition. And these were all recorded by a secretary who faithfully took stenographic notes. And all those documents are on file today, some 14,000 of them.
I think that's amazing. They're also on CD-ROM. I have one.
Yes, they are. And they're just a treasure trove of wisdom, of not only about holistic health, but about the spiritual nature of life. And it's just a marvelous product of his lifetime.
Now, I was very impressed in reading how humble he was about this talent or gift that he was given. He was constantly questioning himself if this was real and if it was a fake or fraudulent situation, and he really didn't believe it at first. We're going to come back and find out more about that. We're stopping now for a break, and don't go away. We'll find out more about Edgar Cayce. Our lines are open. Pierce County, 253-584-1480, 253-804-5765. In King County, we still have open lines. If you have a question, give us a call. We'll be back shortly. Welcome back. We have been having an interesting talk today with Bob Smith from Virginia Beach, and I imagine the weather there is very comfortable today.
Actually, it's pretty sultry. It's about 90 degrees.
Ooh, even though you're right on the beach.
Well, you know, if you're standing on the beach, it's nice because the wind comes in off the sea and it's cooler. But, you know, a few feet inland and it's hot, just like it is in most of the country this week.
Oh, well, we were just talking about Edgar Cayce, and before I go on with that, I wanted to make sure my listeners are aware that I talked with Crystal of Crystal's Voyage this morning, and she said my angel pictures are selling, and I also have inspirational plaques that I've created over there. So if you are at Freight House Square, be sure and stop in and see what's there. You probably will want to take one home with you. And if you choose to ensure the show continuing on the air by making a contribution, please call me at 253-845-4907 or email me at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com With this opportunity, you can suggest a topic or a guest for this program. So now's your chance to say, oh, I'd really like to hear somebody. In fact, when I was talking to somebody recently, he said, I have been trying for years to hear, in this case it was Reverend Rodney Romney, and he said, he was on your show. He was so tickled. So that can happen, and you can make it happen too. We were talking about Edgar Casey being so humble before we stopped at the break a minute ago, Bob. I was very impressed that he did not take this for granted. He didn't go around with a big ego about this at all.
No, he certainly didn't. He was a very humble man. Of course, I think it becomes all of us to be humble in whatever we do. Be as good as we can be, but don't brag about it too much because our actions speak more loudly than our words in any case. And I think that was certainly true of Edgar Casey.
You called your book, My Life as a Seer. How do you describe seer?
Well, you know, that's one of those expressions that's really hard to define. I think a seer, though, is generally thought of as someone who has an unusual gift of knowing, of someone who seems to be in touch with the universal wisdom. And some people think of it as having a pipeline to God. Not everybody believes in God in that way or believes that that is possible, but I think there is a sort of a universal consciousness, almost like a pool of information that is available to some people. And Casey said we all have the ability to tap into this, and it's not just something he had or a handful of people you might be able to name have had, but that this is something we can all learn to tap into. And I think meditation, you know, you were talking about your meditation course,
right?
That is one of the best ways to develop your, whether you call it intuition or whatever you call it. It is a way of seeing, a way of knowing, a way of gaining this this greater insight, and it will come, but it might not come just easily and naturally or overnight. It's one of those things that I think can be developed.
Well, I've never mentioned this on the air, but I happen to have a Search for God group at my home every week. And if people are interested in finding out more how to tap into that source, Edgar Casey did put together a group, actually, of people, had him do readings and give them feedback as to the information in these two books. And it's one way of developing your spiritual connection. And it's a weekly program where we get together, and part of it is meditation, part of it is reading in his information from his readings. And it's a good way to be able to have a class, so to speak, where you can actually have others there learning the same things.
Search for God groups are really wonderful. I know I've been in several over the years, and many people have been in those groups for years. It's not just something you do temporarily, although you can stay as long as you want or leave whenever you wish. But sometimes these groups just have a way of becoming a part of your life.
Well, they certainly have in mine, and anybody interested in joining our group is certainly able to call me, and we can tell you more of the details. Also, for people out there that are more interested in Edgar Casey, I will be teaching a class about Edgar Casey September 7th at Discover University out in Northgate, which is north of Seattle, and that will be in their catalog that's coming out for fall. So if you are interested in finding out more about Edgar Casey's philosophy that Bob Smith has shared with us, you can sign up for that Saturday class, and for 3 hours we'll learn more about it. And hopefully you will find it more informative beyond what we're talking about today. So there are opportunities. In fact, this weekend, Bob, I'm going to an ARE retreat at CBEC.
Are you? Well, that's CBEC. That's a wonderful place. I've been up there, and I would certainly encourage anyone to do that.
Well, we have an office. I didn't think to bring the phone number of the Edmonds office, but you could contact me if you're interested in going from Friday to this coming Tuesday, this coming Friday, through the day before 4th of July is when we're through. We'll have a wonderful speaker, John Van Auken, and a person who will also talk to us about numerology will be the main features of our retreat this year. In fact, I'm going to be interviewing John to be on our show at a later time.
Very good.
Yeah, he's great. I went with him to Mexico and hope to go with him to Europe this fall. And so there's a lot of things, a lot of activities going on about the Edgar Cayce people. Mm-hmm. How many followers do you think there are of this particular philosophy?
Well, you know, that's really, I don't know how you would calculate that. You know, Cayce started this organization that I work for called the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach. And it's a membership organization. People join. Some people become life members. Others, you know, pay dues once a year. Somewhere in the nature of 25,000 members right now. But there are many people who have been members who may not be members at present, but think of themselves as members. You know, once you've sort of signed on to getting interested in Edgar Cayce and his philosophy, many people, it becomes a part of their lives. And whether they are dues-paying members or not is not the whole story. So I would guess that there are probably hundreds of thousands of people who are either members or followers or believers or people whose lives have been influenced for the better by Edgar Cayce's philosophy.
And the number could even be larger, Bob, because I've been fortunate to find people that say, oh, I read a book about Edgar Cayce and I want to know more. And so those people are not included in those numbers.
You're
in the
membership.
You're
absolutely right. And the books, you know, there have been over 200 books, separate books that have been published over the years about different aspects of Edgar Cayce or his work or his philosophy, about dream interpretation, you know, about health, about the journey of the soul. And so these books have had, I would guess, millions of readers, without a doubt. And as you say, those are the kind of people whose lives have been changed or influenced in a good, positive way by those books.
One thing that bothered me one day is that in a talking in a group, some people said, oh, ARE is a cult. And I didn't have really good words of wisdom at the time to say something that was really constructive because I knew it wasn't. But how would you describe it?
Well, I think a cult is a group where there's nobody can question the truth or the doctrine that's handed down. You either accept it or you're out. And that, you know, that is the sort of cultish behavior that we've seen in some of the cults that have had such terrible consequences, tragedies in over the years. The ARE isn't that way at all. For example, Cayce had a spiritual dimension to his work, but he did not try to start a church. He did not say, this is the church and this is what you have to believe. He was just the opposite. He encouraged everybody to stay in their own church, whether they're Baptist or Jewish, whether they're Mormon or Presbyterian. He said that he hoped that whatever he had learned and whatever he could teach people would make them better Mormons or better Jews or better Christians or whatever. And that, I think, is just the opposite of a cult, absolutely the opposite, because it encourages people to find their own path. Everybody can find their own path, and there are so many paths to God, as we well know in this country, which encourages freedom of religion, that a cult really doesn't have any place in that spectrum. So, but the ARE has people of many faiths and is very comfortable with that reality.
Bob, how can they get your book, Edgar Cayce, My Life as a Seer?
Well, My Life as a Seer was published by St. Martin's Press, which is a big New York publisher, so it should be available in most bookstores. they don't happen to have it, they can order it. It's been out in hardback, and now it's out in paperback, and it's being distributed around the world.
Well, I can tell at you and vouch for you that I saw it in a local bookstore recently, so I know it's on the bookshelves.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
Okay, so I'm just so glad you were here with us today, Bob. It's been a pleasure. I hope people have heard a lot of new information, enlightening things that they might not have heard anyplace else, and thank you for spending your hour with us.
Well, it's been a delight, and God bless you all.
Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
And I want everybody to remember, if you wish to reach me for counseling, classes, readings, past life regression, or to talk to someone passed over, call me at 253-845-4907. You too can sponsor this program, so contact me and we can work it out. So have a great day. The sun is out. It's going to be gorgeous today. Enjoy yourself. And be sure and tune in next Wednesday at noon for Maryland Solutions at 12 o'clock, 1180 a.m. Talk to you next week. Great. Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Maryland Solutions. Listen again next week for another informative show with guests from coast to coast. For a copy of today's program or a copy of her new book, Roses Have Thorns, and videotapes on empowerment and spiritual tools for healing domestic violence, write to KLAY in care of Maryland Solutions, 10025 Lakewood Drive Southwest, Tacoma, Washington, 98499. Or visit her website at Maryland@angelicasgifts.com.
Many people are looking for a new direction and a lift in spirit. Hello, I'm Reverend Marilyn, a counselor, teacher for over 30 years, and a spiritual advisor for addictions, codependency, domestic violence, past lives, and holistic healing. Join me every Wednesday at noon for Maryland Solutions, a program sure to be of interest to everyone. We will talk with guests from coast to coast, offering a wide range of talents and information. That's Maryland Solutions, Wednesdays at noon on your news and information station, KLAY 1180.